everyone. I'm Esther Kovács, co-founder of Drone Talks, and today I'm here in Las Vegas at the Commercial UAV show. And in 3 years I'm running this show, I never ever had two ladies at my show, you know, in the same time. So I'm like shocked it's happening. So I could find two amazing ladies who are here. So welcome here. Thank you for accepting our invitation. So maybe Irina first, if you could introduce yourself and what do you do at AVSS and how you became someone in the drone industry.
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Irina Stach. I got into the drone industry from our CEO, Josh Ogden. And my role mainly is project management and a little bit of supply chain. I'm moving more into supply chain now just because the company is growing, and as we grow, kind of positions open up, and it just naturally progressed more into supply chain. I never thought I would be in the drone industry, but I actually knew the CEO of AVSS, and it just seemed like he was doing something new and interesting all the time. And I kind of looked into the company and was really interested in what they were doing, kind of new technology, safety, all that kind of stuff. So it just really piqued my interest.
Amazing. Thank you so much. So Mariah, who are you? How you became, you know, one of the leaders in the drone industry, one of the female leaders. And on the other hand, just if someone doesn't know, because they didn't see the previous video with Josh, you know what AVSS does, just in a nutshell, if you could help us.
Sure. So my name is Mariah Murray. I'm the VP of Operations at AVSS. AVSS is a Canadian-based company. We do autonomous landing systems for drone technology. So we very much focus on the parachute recovery system, as well as we do guided system as well. I actually met the CEO with our former company. This is our second company together. So I've known him since we were university students back in 2015. So my role at the company, I guess my official title is VP of Operations, but you know, at a startup, you have to wear many hats. So I do overlook operations, and I manage all the finances for the company, the accounting, the bookkeeping. I assist with projections, cash flow, as well as business development. And I also own a part of the sales revenue stream. So it's called our retrofit products. So I deal with all of our DJI dealers. We have partnered with over 50 of them globally. So I manage all of those relationships and manage that product line.
Wow. It resonates, you know. I have days when I only do admin, even I'm the director of the company. Yeah. So we all do this. When you work for a startup, there is like no one role for a person. You need to take it all and you need to step up of it for it, you know. So that's amazing. So Irina, how long are you working for AVSS? And when you say you do project management, supply chain coordination, how do you feel about this? Because it can be extremely challenging, especially as a female, you know, try to like balancing between life, family, you know, like having two roles in a company, dealing with this million males. Within the industry. So for first, my question is, how do you feel about being a part of this startup environment where you need to do million things? And the second question is like, how do you feel being a part of a startup environment which is male dominated, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so I've been in this role, well, I've been with AVSS for about a year and a half now, maybe a little bit longer. But I have to say, like, what makes it easy is our team. We have like a really solid team. We have a really like, just well-balanced people working for AVSS. I feel like we're really committed. We really believe in our product. We really believe in what we're doing. We're really confident in our product and what we sell. We really stand for our product. And at the end of the day, I just find that I do balance a lot of hats, but we all do, and we're all kind of in it together. To be honest, like, I don't really feel that our company is discriminatory or anything. We're really supportive. Like, supply chain wasn't something that I was really looking into, but it was a role that was kind of presented to me and really encouraged, and they provide all the training and support and all that kind of stuff for me, and I felt really comfortable kind of really changing directions. And it's kind of what AVSS stands for. It's like they stand behind their employees. We stand behind our product. And at the end of the day, like, it just makes it so much easier being in a startup and kind of being in that role. So I really love the team. I think everyone's really great, and we get along really well. So
how about outside, when you come to an event, like this male-dominated event, you know, I'm also a female here, and sometimes difficult to approach people because I feel like I always said to Lorenzo, I feel like they are the men club. So I'm always joking with him, oh, you're also called now again your boys club, you know, and now again your boys club. But to me, it's always half joke because it's really a boys club, you know. So I'm pulling his legs, but to be honest, it's really a boys club. A lot of time where he goes, it's a boys club.
It's kind of nice because we're seeing more women in this like male dominant and like kind of sector. We are seeing like more women, a lot more interest from women. Mm-hmm. And like anytime I see women, we kind of have this like connection, which is great. And I do feel that like from an AVSS standpoint, we're kind of told that we could do anything in the company, and like we're given so much support. When we are at the shows like this here, we do see a little bit of like, you know, step back from, you know, visitors that even come to our booth. So at the end of the day, it kind of is what it is, but like, I think it's easy to be with Mariah at our booth and like we get along so well, and like it just makes the day so much easier. So I definitely think having a strong team behind you will really like kind of elevate your experience.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I feel like what you said about poking jokes at this boys club, it's like kind of opens up their eyes to like say, you know what? That's a little true.
Yeah.
And I was talking to some ladies on the floor today, and they were telling me how they were having trouble when they were approaching a booth. They were ignored, and somebody that was male would enter the booth after them, and they were those men were approached immediately. And I said, I think the only way to kind of get past that is like make a joke about it, voice it, and then it might actually trigger them to not do it again, because I don't think people do it on purpose.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It happened with me the same. It's very funny you mentioning this, because today, you know, I didn't wear my high heels. I don't have a blazer. Yeah. I was like really freezing. So I got like a jeans jacket on. Yeah. And I was walking around in a sneaker with a jeans jacket in, and people didn't take me serious. And they asked me questions, which company are you employed by? And you know, and they already assumed I'm an employee of someone. And I mean, nothing wrong. Employed by someone, but they already kind of didn't even give me the trust I could be a director of one of the company. Yeah. They never even assumed.
Yeah.
And I said to them, no, I'm not employed. I'm actually owning the company. And I was like, oh, really? And they were like genuinely surprised.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
I was like, why are you surprised on this, right?
Yeah.
So this is happening here at the show.
It is. Yeah. And I get that all the time as well. And then when they kind of learn about your position in the company, you're taken a little bit more seriously. And I get like even my age, because they think I'm
100%.
It's another kind of layer on top of being the female in a position in a male dominated industry. And then on top of that, younger, or you look younger. So it's just
even
like
if you're
another.
Pretty, you put makeup, you make your hair, that's also a judging factor, you know, because you cannot be pretty. Smart, you know.
You can't have it all.
You can't have it all.
It's like, you cannot. Yeah, I also feel this, but I resonate with you because I don't think so they do it on purpose.
No. Yeah.
Like when we had these discussions with Lorenzo, when I'm like, so pissed someone does this, I go home and complain, and he's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, you were in the same room. Did you not see? Did you not see this happen? And he's like, no, I didn't see.
Yeah. I think it's really personal experiences, right? Like we get a lot of these personal experiences, especially like on a floor like this, where it's like, it's condensed and it happens like from time to time, you like notice it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel that like Mariah said, and like you said, just crack a joke and like get in there, get the information that you need. And it's nice because we do see an increase every single year of women coming to the show, and people are taking it a little bit more seriously. seriously, I find, which is great. And all of the women groups, all the, you know, kind of talks, the groups and all that, I think it's really like paving the way for women to come in, which is so cool, because then it's like the younger generation is more excited about it. They see women in, like, you know, these types of roles, and they kind of look up to it, and they're able to come up and have those conversations, which is great.
Because I remember being so intimidated my first trade show. It was so intimidating, and I remember being in my head and nervous, not excited at all, more just scared, and the intimidation of it all. And I remember Josh taking me aside and being like, because I'm a confident person, and but when you're thrown into this type of environment, you kind of, like, it's easy to kind of shut down. So I've learned to kind of persevere through that and, like, welcome women, because you don't want women to feel that way. I wouldn't want someone to feel like how I have felt. Mm. So it's like, you know, how do we bridge that gap of, like, because some women might say after feeling like that, this is not for me. You know, we don't want to lose that talent because of intimidation or a feeling.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's very strong. You know, what happened with me like 4 years ago when I didn't have this show, I went to Canada, your home country, and that was my first time on stage in front of, you know, like a proper audience, you know, an IKO event, right? And basically I was like practicing, so nervous. And I mean, I remember we were like practicing hours. Now I'm, you know, improvising shows. But they cutted me out because I was bad. They cutted me out from a promo video because I was bad, you know.
Yeah.
And this is like what people do.
Yeah.
But this is where is the trick, because after I felt so ashamed and terrible because. But you stand up and you go for the next and
persevere.
The next. But it's extremely difficult.
It is.
And it's not breaking you.
And not
it's
everyone will you. Persevere. Yeah. Some people will say, you know what, this is not for me. And this isn't the industry for me. And they'll walk away. And I'm sure many have.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot walk away.
Absolutely.
So the question, how can we make sure we who are already here and we didn't walk the way, we stayed, you know, like a Hunger Game, the strongest days, you know? Like, how can we make sure it doesn't happen with others? And I'm not sure. I'm asking more you guys. How can I make sure we don't cut out the next young girl from the videos, you know? Or how can we make sure? And I don't know the receipt. I really don't know. This is my question more you, like, what can we do as an industry?
Mm-hmm. I think, like, I think we're well on our way of doing this, but creating a network of women that are supporting each other, that are interacting at these events, are having, you know, maybe side conversations of, like, almost planning to get together, have like a pre-plan. Mm-hmm. And like that way, it's like we're not on our own. You don't feel on your own.
Yeah.
You feel like at least you get support and it's planned. And I feel like that's something that is kind of missing today.
Yeah. Could be.
I also find that, like, starting with the earlier generations, like having these talks, the good thing is that, like, we're a lot more technologically inclined earlier, and it's like kids these days are like on their iPads and they're using all this technology.
Girls are so good now.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not like there's no sexual bias towards that, so it's like you get the earlier generation excited about drones and drone technology like so much earlier in life and stuff, and it's like I find that, like, bringing it to schools and bringing it to certain areas where, like, kids can just, like, get familiarized with the technology and, like, seeing what options are open to them.
Yeah.
I think, like, that's probably, like, start early, you know? And, like, for girls, going into school, going to university, it's, like, start early, start promoting that stuff, start posting pictures and all that stuff that they can relate to, you know, this kind of tech.
You know, I wanted to buy a kid's book for my 2 years old, you know, like about drones, right?
Yeah.
So she could learn what mama does, right?
Great idea.
There is nothing.
Well,
there
maybe
is nothing,
you start something.
And there is only one or two, and they are all boys with drones, you know. There is no girls' books. And after I heard there is one somewhere, some gossip, you know, but I haven't found it yet. But now there is apparently somewhere one. But do you think this is governmental responsibility to do this education, or it is our responsibility now to go to schools and advocate? Because me as a startup owner, I think I told you in a side chit-chat already, I have a lot of difficulties to make my own revenue and give salaries to my guys if I put my effort to go to schools and educate young girls for free, I maybe can shut down the business, you know?
Absolutely.
So is it really my responsibility or is it more governmental responsibility to drive diversity? What do you think, maybe, Mariah?
I would say like it's almost both, like creating awareness, being inclusive, using language when you're recruiting of like making sure that everybody feels like they could be a good fit for the role. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. It's like, do we have to take the time we don't have to go and educate? Not realistically. Like, that's not a realistic thing when you're running a business. Not all the time anyways, and not for everybody. But I don't know. That's a good question. But maybe where we could just say, as a business ourselves, how do we recruit women? How do we make sure that when a woman reads a job posting that they feel like it's not just tailored for a male or that they could do something? Because I read something interesting that was, if a female is reading a job description and they don't think that they're 80% qualified, they won't even apply. Men, it's way lower, like 30% or something, and they'll still apply.
They love pushing buttons.
And maybe that's something that we can do internally on what we're already kind of doing, but just changing small details.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And really promoting self-growth within the company too, because like from an AVSS perspective, like we really invest in our employees and we really want to keep them on, and they believe in us, and vice versa. AVSS believes in them.
For sure.
So it's like showing that there is growth, and you know, there's like so much more potential. Yeah, you may be starting like year one in like very beginner position, but we will teach you everything, whatever you want to learn, like we'll get you there. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like AVSS is like very much like with those kind of values as a company and stuff. So I think, maybe promoting it that way. I also just wanted to comment too, like, which I thought was really cool, was we just had a testing of our new product, the UPPS, in like a really kind of secluded area in Northern Ontario. And one of the testing partners that we were partnered with just employed two candidates in like a really remote location, and one of them was a female too, and I thought like that was so cool. They're really hiring. I find that girls are starting to apply more. She became like a pilot within like no time, which was so cool to see, because you really see the commitment there. Mm-hmm. And the news is kind of spreading. Like there's so many possibilities as drone pilots, you know, like kind of being more in the industry, which is kind of great.
And like at AVSS, Irene and I are the only females at the company. And I was the only female for a long time. And we do bring a completely different opinion. Mm-hmm. And having female being a part of the conversations, helping make the decisions, it's a diverse way of thinking, and it makes for a well-balanced team.
Yeah, this is what I always say on the stage as well. Having females is your own business benefit. It's not like, you know, a favor. Yeah. What you do, this is like you try to make a product and reach out to everyone. There is a person who maybe Mariah talks better, but there is a person who maybe Irina talks better, and there is a client who Josh can talk better, right?
100%.
So it's not a favor, it's a business benefit, right?
Josh says that to me all the time. I bring something new to the table. With like a bunch of engineers and stuff, it's just a different dynamic. So I think it's important.
It's true, and it's very important, and it makes for a well-rounded team.
Yeah
It's fascinating when you cross paths near your booth, you see these two girls in the, you know, in the booth, and like exactly, it's like a fully female team. Yeah. So it's very exciting. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation. Yeah. Have this side chit chat, you know, about diversity, leadership, and of course the company and the product. So thanks again, and I think great to have you here.
Thank you for having us.